기죽고몰아까우다바깥내오름이물어가야가바깥내눈로꿈봐
죽고몰아꿈봐 3, 2, 1.
자야야야나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나나 Welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. I'm Bobby Lee, and we have my partner in crime and my girlfriend and my love, Kalila. When it's not working?
Huh?
You don't want to do it?
No, I just seem like I hate you so much right now, but like, let's so like, I'm trying to absorb what you just said. It just sounds so fake.
Yeah, how about we take an hour?
No, that's okay. We can try.
No, but that, I'll can't
try,
do that.
I'll learn how to fake it.
We got in a fight, so.
I understand. There's a lot of fake smiles right now. I think
Yeah. We got in a fight.
Do you like
so,
my smile? Yeah, yeah.
It's not real. It's not real.
This is as real as my smile is going to get today.
I know, it's very funny, though.
Do you guys want to cool down and reconcile?
No.
No, it's fine. It's this is fine. Real life. Okay. We're fighting.
We're fighting, and it's fine.
Right. We're fighting.
A 5, 4, 3, 2.
No, we're not starting over. Okay. We're not starting over. Na, 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 na.
I would have much rather if he just said this bitch right here. Like, that would have felt more sincere or like true to the moment.
No, it's showbiz.
It's not. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. I would rather you let our audience know that we just fucking, you know,
right, so
we just boxed outside.
Can I just tell him what happened then?
Yes.
So she's in this room, Kalila, right? And fucking, what's your Jules? Jules is outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Disinfecting boxes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I went to go have a cigarette and I say, hey, when are you going to ever have a cigarette with me?
And I overheard it from here as I was prepping
overheard
the podcast.
It from here. Yeah, yeah.
And I
do it as a joke. I sometimes I'll go, hey, we should do cocaine one night together. You know what I mean? Just make jokes, you know?
But
so to me, it was innocent. It was an innocent joke. But then she yelled at me saying, don't ever do that again, whatever. And I got defensive. Like, it was just a joke. It's a bad joke. I'm so sorry. And then she goes, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. And then I got really defensive. I'm like, well, I don't want to do the podcast.
And then he started doing this. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy.
I'm not a bad guy.
And, you know, like just with the whole thing this whole week. And he's already like, you know what I mean? It's just been a thing. And then
it's
I got hypersensitive because I'm like, obviously, she's a teenager. Do not.
That's the one thing not to do in the situation we've
been. I don't know. I can't read the room. I don't know how to read the room.
Still?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how to read
Come
the room.
Come for me again.
Yeah, yeah. Ow. You're going to piss me off. That hurt.
Oh, that did?
Yeah.
Hey, try again. Here, we'll rec. Forgive me.
Give me a bump.
Man. Right. This is crazy.
It's crazy. So, that's done.
That's done. We're no longer fighting. Let's start for real.
I want to keep all this in.
Okay.
It's because it's real and I want to keep it in. Welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. I'm Bobby Lee. I'm still a comedian. still a game show comedic actor.
Ooh.
We have Kalila, my girlfriend. We were fighting. we have
much better.
Yeah,
I like that better.
We were fighting. And we have Gilbert, who's different in games in Warzone.
Mm.
In Warzone, you talk to me different. Yeah, you talk to me as equals. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
But hey, shoot the guy though, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Right? Just shoot the guy.
Shoot the guy. Yeah. Although I did play with Raimi and other friend Todd, Trauma Todd.
And his name is Trauma Todd.
He won't tell me his real name, but I figured out who he is.
Trauma.
Oh, sweet,
he's trying
Todd.
To hide. He's trying to hide his name, so I started calling him Todd, and I started calling him Trauma Todd.
Oh, that's not the name he gave himself.
No, I gave it to him.
Oh.
So Trauma Todd and I. So they, Raimi, they died immediately, and then I got 7 kills.
Is that good?
That's really good.
Raimi,
yeah,
you suck, Raimi.
Yeah, so I got 7 kills. Welcome again. We also have Jules in the house. What's up? What's up? Jules in the house. This is going to be a very difficult podcast to do. Because last week, a friend of ours he's in trouble. Mm. He's in big trouble. And I'm conflicted. And this is, I'm just trying to be honest.
If you're not conflicted, like you're not a feeling human mm-hmm. being. You're a yeah, robot. Yeah, I think that I'm, it's, I.
Here's what I'm, cause just let me finish my sentence.
Yeah, of course.
So here's where the conflict lies. And there really isn't a conflict when it comes to like right and wrong. When it comes to right and wrong, there is no conflict. The news of my friend in trouble Tuesday was as shocking and devastating to me as it was to his fans and as it was to the people hearing it for the first time. I've heard it for the first time. I've said this before on Bad Friends. I don't know what I don't know. I've read the accusations and I've read all the things online. And he's a friend of mine and I love him. His behavior, I don't condone and I refute. And I think it's bad. It's bad behavior. But I can still have both things can be true.
I think what you're trying to say is you can still have love for somebody for all the things, for all the good things that you know about them and still absolutely despise and hate what he's accused of.
Like, yes. That's what you're trying to say. Those two things are true. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's so funny? Because I said it wrong?
I don't know how you said it. I thought it was right.
Yeah.
And it's tricky, you know, like I never ever want to be in his position where it's like everything you say, anyone can like punch a hole through.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very delicate, also very serious, like those allegations are serious.
They're serious allegations. And I don't like it. They really make me sad. And I'm, this whole situation makes me sad. Mm. And I feel like I lost a friend. Mm. And I don't want that to be true, you know? But I've talked to a lot of female comics. You know, a lot of them I've talked to because I want to get their input and I want to talk to them about the situation and listening to them. And I have to be mindful about the community, the comedy community. I have to be mindful about the people that were hurt by him. And I have to be sympathetic. And if I lost a friend, it's hard to say, but so be it. I mean, that's where I'm at. That's the honest and utter truth of it. I hate this. I hate it. I hate this week.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break to share this amazing sponsor with you.
BetterHelp. Listen guys, Kalila and I, before we did this podcast, went into therapy. We think that BetterHelp is a very important sponsor that we have. It's changed my life. It's changed Kalila's life and also little Jules here. And it's something that I really suggest that you do. It's especially during quarantine, it's a very good way to get some of your frustrations out, and it gets you grounded in the moment, and you know, you get to, you know, it's really good to work on yourself and to talk about your issues,
especially right now. Things are a little bit, you know, strange times, and
it's real
so
strange.
If there's anything that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving, you know, your personal goals, I think that this is a great site to add that extra support. Just like I would say, like taking like a supplemental vitamin. This is just something that even if you feel like things are going okay in your life, it really does help.
And, Bobby says, and you can, and when you start, you can start communicating in under 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help thing. It's a professional counseling done securely on your online. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, professionals.
What the feature that I love about it for me is that sometimes, like, when you go see a therapist, like, in person, like, in the past, you have to sort of repeat yourself a lot. This app has a feature where you can text and write everything that's on your mind that day. So by the time that you are that you enter your appointment, mm-hmm. you're no longer having to sort of like your therapist knows, you know, the things that we're going to talk about or things that, you know, you'd like to already address. There's a journal. There's messaging.
Mm.
And I've been... This has been such a necessity in our lives.
One thing I also want to say is that it's more affordable than like traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Tell them more, Gilbert.
Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/belly. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer for Tiger Belly listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/belly. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Leonard update. Oh, the other day.
Good news?
Very good news.
Oh, okay.
Very good news.
Sort of good news.
Oh.
The balcony was dying.
The balcony was dying.
Balcony.
Yeah, just all the fucking white poo and all that stuff.
Oh.
Did that make you mad?
No. It's just because you never helped Jules and I clean that white poo. So the fact that you're complaining about white poo.
Touché.
It makes me.
That's true. That's true.
Because Jules and I, we really tried to clean up after Leonard and stuff. And then, you know. You play Warzone.
The other morning I woke up and I looked out on the balcony and Leonard is free. Wow. Leonard got his wings and flew across the street.
He did it.
And then landed.
Oh.
That's improvement.
It's improvement.
It's improvement.
So I will show you guys videos. Actually, wow. Maybe we can put it up here, George. So Lenny, yeah. I had put up this like kind of makeshift perch for him, and he was practicing his launches. He was practicing his like mini flights across the balcony. So I knew that he was getting stronger. His wings still didn't seem like fully stable. So I was like, yeah, it's going to be a couple more days. But then on Saturday, he took a leap of faith, and then he flew across to their neighbor in front of us, which is an empty house. And now he's on their balcony. And now we see him from our balcony on that balcony. And I'm freaking out because I'm like, is he stuck there? Will I be able to feed him?
And no one lives there.
And no one lives there. So
he basically went from a Four Seasons to an abandoned hotel.
But he needed to take a risk.
Yeah, yeah.
He needed to take a risk.
There's no food there? You want to go check the house?
No, what Juliana did, which I made her do, was she started throwing food into their balcony.
Yeah.
She's littering.
Just to make Juliana's sure.
Juliana's littering the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, look.
That's her protest.
Anything for Lenny.
BLM protest. Throwing chicken at a house. Yeah, but I think Lenny will be fine. Leonard will be fine. Leonard couldn't move. Leonard was like.
Limping.
When we first saw Leonard. He was standing on the balcony on top of a black chair.
Yeah.
With his mouth out. And, in retrospect, what is he doing? And then Kalel was like, when birds, you know, they get hot, they open, you know, their mouths.
That's what I read, that they thermoregulate.
But that's not what he was doing now in retrospect. He was like, ow! That's what he was doing. He was in pain. Leonard was in fucking pain, and we didn't read it right. And we spent a couple of weeks nursing that little fucker back to health, giving him fresh, free-range chicken and high-quality cat food and oriental fruits.
Not oriental fruits.
And we bought her a spa. And then when Leonard left, you know what came to the door? A treehouse that she had ordered.
Treehouse?
A fucking full-blown treehouse. So we have a treehouse now for no fucking reason.
Do you know how John Cusack in Say Anything puts the radio over his head outside the window of the girl he likes?
That's the treehouse?
So I want to do that with a treehouse, but you know, across the balcony so Lenny can see me. I want to put the show him the treehouse that I just bought him that he never got to use.
You think he'll fly back?
I just hope that he's stronger today and he's able to hunt for himself, because that's all I want. I want a wild thing to be to stay a wild thing, and I'm glad that he's getting stronger.
But you know what, baby? We did a good thing. You know, I think there's got to be more of that going on in the world, right? Because, you know, I don't think that if I wasn't dating Kalilah, that if I saw a bird, you know, outside my door, I don't know if I would have done the same exact thing. I wouldn't have, you know, called anybody. I think I would have done the best I could, like give it like breadcrumbs, because I would I don't even know if I would like internet search things. I would just like improvise.
You know,
give him like a cup of Red Bull or something. Maybe, you know what I mean? That'll give it energy. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Or give it wings. Maybe it would give it. Maybe it would give it wings.
With
you
that
know?
Logic, but, I'm on board.
Yeah, very logical.
Yeah.
But you know. Or maybe like play music out there. Fly like an eagle. You know, into the sea or whatever. Anything, you know what I mean? To get it to get motivated. But
you need to collab.
But we, you know, I've learned so much from Michael Loco here. And and I'm so glad that Leonard has found his wings. And maybe he'll grow up to be a lawyer.
I hope so.
You know what I mean? Or a doctor or something.
It's crazy. What if he's like a line where like 15 years from now he brings his kids to like meet you guys?
Oh, I would.
Oh,
you know, that's not unheard of, because crows.
No.
I
don't give a fuck.
I read that crows, when you befriend crows and they know who you are and they know that you've been like a kind neighbor, that they bring you gifts, like little things that they think are gifts, like like a rock or, you know, cute things like that.
Thanks for the rock. That's what I'd say back to the Leonard. Thanks for the rock, Leonard.
You should see me on my balcony these days. I'm like, hi, Lenny. Because he's like, it really I can see him. Lenny.
She does a high Hitler. What kind of wave is that? She's like, hi, Lenny.
You don't know if the crow's Jewish.
No, it's because I want him to land on my arm. So I go, Lenny.
Okay.
So that's the Leonard.
Wow.
Don't, babe, it's what? Fine.
No, I are you kidding me? It's bittersweet because he's stronger, but I will miss my Lenny conversations.
So Jules, let me tell you about Jules. Jules came here from a foreign land, a mythical island.
Okay,
you know,
it's
where Wonder Woman comes from.
Oh,
not I didn't quite. Know.
Right? Cool, yeah, they have chariots and they have like horses.
We have cities. It's a metropolis.
No, they had cities in the Wonder Woman's.
Yeah,
but she comes from that land, you know. But, you know, they have, instead of chariots, they have boba and boar meat. It's a beautiful place. I've been there.
We do have boar, though.
I know.
If you go to the San Diego Zoo, I remember years, like a decade ago, I took a picture next to the Bisayan wild boar. I felt Filipino pride.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, we made it into the animal ranks.
Yeah, by the way, why does boar sound better than pig? Like, because I'm the year of the pig, I guess. But whenever somebody goes, what year were you born? I go, 1971. They go, oh, year of the pig. I go, boar.
No, it's a boar. No.
I always do that. I get defensive.
Interesting.
It's a boar with the tusks that can fuck you up.
Even in Game of Thrones, they never said, ooh, I hunted a pig. It's, I've hunted a boar.
Right.
Because a pig is a domesticated animal that you've always like associated as just like meat you eat, whereas a boar is something you've associated in your mind as something you hunt.
Okay. But
well, a boar too can
as
fuck
tusks.
You. Pigs can't fuck you up.
But guess what pigs can do?
Pigs
love you and show you affection like a dog. Pigs are wonderful.
Yeah, those are wonderful qualities. If you want to cuddle up with somebody, but you don't want to be equated
pigs.
With, you know.
You know what my year is?
What is yours?
This year, I'm the year of the rat, the wood
and
rat.
You don't have to say much more.
That's
you
it.
Don't have to say much.
Bingo. I love rats.
Bingo, dead on.
I'm year of the snake. What do you think George is?
A snake? You don't have to say much more. George is the year of the horse. Is there a horse?
Rabbit.
Oh, no, I'm year of the goat.
What a loser. Fucking. that's what you are. That's what you are. Hold on. No, goats are great.
Goats are scary. Have you not seen the movie The Witch? Goat eyes are scary. I love goats, by the way.
Witch. I don't remember a goat.
Where's our goat?
Yeah.
So growing up, we had goats, and they were treated as actual pet goats. So we had Cabia. Cabia had two little babies.
There's always a story. If you bring up an animal, she has a story.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, yeah. You bring up caterpillar. When I was growing up, there was a caterpillar named Boyonyo. And Boyonyo, right, used to live on the edge of my fucking ear. He used to slide in and out of my ear. And Boyonyo, you know what I mean? Aww. He died.
Kalala is a modern-day Steve Irwin, but of, like, L.A.
Yeah.
No, I just lived in the land of Wonder Woman.
If goats are so great, why do they sacrifice them all the time?
Because humans sacrifice other humans too. Did you not know that?
No, but it's always, you know, you look at Apocalypto, right? That's how I say Apocalypto, by the way. Apocalypto. Well, you look at Apocalypto, right? They're always like bringing, they have to carry that fucking goat. Probably 52,000 stairs. Yeah. You know what I mean? Why are Mayan temples so fucking tall, by the way?
It also, dude, Jurassic Park.
Four stairs, that's fine. That's why I wouldn't want to be a fucking, you know, a Mayan king or whatever they had. I don't want to fucking walk up those stairs.
In fact, you're not a big stairs guy, huh?
I have short legs.
Yeah, but that's better. Long legs is harder.
Me, Brad Williams, and fucking Peter Dinklage.
You guys all hate stairs.
We hate stairs.
You guys got a club?
Yeah, there's a lot of sweating going on. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, we're using muscles that you don't have to use, tall people.
Wait, tall people are actually less agile, I think.
Anyway, you're the goat. And we love all animals here on TB here. Mm-hmm. But I also, why did I even get into that?
I don't know, but Klala had a story about the goat.
I know, Cabia, and then you dismissed my Cabia story.
Go into Cabia.
Okay, so Cabia was a... Cabia was our family goat.
It's always
And then Cabia had two babies. And then one belonged to me and one belonged to my sister. And that's it. We just had goats. And my dad, you know, I already told you, my dad's a weird guy.
Can I ask you, though, a question? Yeah. I know I'm not interrupting.
Yeah, go ahead.
But did you grow up, just anything that you saw, you just named it?
And it was a pet?
No.
Yeah, oh, there's a cockroach. Let's call it Davy. Or whatever it might be.
You know, can I tell you a story about my dad and cockroaches?
What's the cockroach's name?
Here's another fucking
folklore. I am not making this up. I swear to you.
Yeah.
So my dad was a really strange animal guy. Like, he was one of those old men that would probably have like a fucking falcon on his shoulder just because he befriended it, you know, ages ago. But my dad had, and I'm not joking you, a pet cockroach. And it was a random, scariest looking Filipino aerial cockroach, and that would have tea with him and eat the little breadcrumbs with him every morning.
What?
On top of that, hold on.
That's not a cockroach.
Babe, hang on. Can we call my mom and tell you the story about the cockroach and the
probably
rat?
Your uncle.
I'm going to call my mom right now. Can I call my mom?
Oh, my God.
If your mom confirms this, this is crazy.
Just don't tell her that we're on the show, okay? Because she won't speak.
The cockroach is like Jean-Luc Picard. He has Earl Grey tea and fucking scones with the dad. What the fuck does that mean?
Wait, hold on. We'll see.
Okay.
It's a rat and a cockroach she was friends with.
Just saying, I'm having a conversation with Bobby.
Oh, my gosh. Are you sure your dad just didn't think it was a different cockroach? Like, it was a different cockroach every time. He just assumed it was the same one.
Because I think he's mentally ill.
Oh, well.
No.
You don't think so?
No, because, you know, my dad wasn't mentally...
Hey. Ma?
Yeah, darling.
Hi, Ma. I'm having an argument with Bobby. Can you help me out with something?
What argument?
Go to a place where I can hear you better, because you're cutting out.
What?
Bungol. Go to a place, because I can't hear you that well. You're cutting out.
Oh, why?
But go to a place with better service.
What do you mean, why?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you much better. Okay, Ma.
Yeah.
Ma, can you please explain to me that story with Papa's pet rat and pet cockroach that would have tea with him every morning?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay,
the
tell
me. The cockroach and the mice.
Okay, tell me. So Bobby can hear you.
Like every morning, you know, your papa has his like tea with just a cloud of milk and toast and butter with a drum. That's only his breakfast. And then every time you always have breakfast in bed, like in the bedroom, not in the dining room. So he puts his breakfast on the night table on his side, and then the cockroach starts. You know, there's only one cockroach, and then the mice.
Just one mouse, right?
Meredith, can you hear me?
Yeah, one mouse.
Meredith, can you hear me?
He starts feeding it first time, and then after that they get used to it. So because every time they come around, he gives a little bit of pieces, you know, just put in there, and then the cockroach just crawl and get it, and then the mouse also start doing it. So they kind of like they know exactly what time. And they know that they can get something.
Okay, and then what happened to the mouse, Ma? Why did Papa get upset about the mouse?
Well, he doesn't know the real story.
Okay, what's the real story?
The real story is when he went with a boat, you know, because you were holding San Miguel beer.
So my dad was, you know, he had a ship, right? Like a cargo ship. Yes, so he would go on a voyage for like 2 weeks.
A cargo boat which holds like 20,000 cases of beer. Mm-hmm. So he went with the voyage, one of the voyages of the cargo boat. And then, you know, usually when your papa is away, he feels safe that your Lulu EP will come, you know, your grandfather.
My Lulu
EP
is my grandfather.
Stay with us.
Yeah.
I knew that.
The house.
Duh.
So your Lulu EP stays there until he comes back. So one time in the morning, your Lulu Ipi was sitting on the living room, and then he saw the mice came out from the bedroom.
The mouse came out
from the bedroom, and then, you know, your Lulu Ipi loves to trap the mouse, right?
He's a mouse trapper, yeah.
Yeah, so the mouse was just kind of game, so he doesn't, you know, like the mouse, they will run, right, when you see a person.
Yeah, they run.
But the mouse is like walking nicely slow, and then right in front of my father, said, oh, there's a mouse. And then he doesn't mean it to kill, but he has this is like Pushpuro Bito, a box of match.
A matchbox.
The matchbox. So he threw the mouse in the matchbox.
He threw the matchbox at the mouse.
It's a very tiny mouse, like very tiny. So it fell, and then it died.
He killed Papa's mouse.
With a matchbox.
Well, because the mouse was conditioned to not fear humans, but my dad fed it every day.
Kind of like just walking, because usually mouse, when you sit, they run fast, right?
Yeah.
But this one came from the bedroom. He just walked slowly, like, you know, like, okay, like a nice pace of walk, because I think he feels that. It's safe.
Okay, so I just wanted to basically.
I'm so sorry, darling. I said, why did you kill it? I said, what? That's the mouse of Edgar. I said, I didn't know. I said, no. And then after that, when your papa came
home
from the voyage, and then one time,
the voyage.
2 days later, he was telling me, darling, I haven't seen my friends anymore.
Oh, his friends.
So I have mouse and a cockroach. I saw the cockroach, but I haven't seen my mouse friend. I said, oh, I feel so guilty. I said, oh, I don't know. Maybe with the family.
She lied.
who threw the matchbox again?
My Lulu Ippi, my grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Killed my dad's
God.
Mouse. So my dad came back from the voyage, he was like, Meritus, where's my mouse? And then my mom didn't have the heart.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragic story of epic proportions.
Yeah,
oh my God!
Darling, I don't have my friends anymore.
I know. Okay, Mom, because Bobby thought that I was lying about the pet cockroach and the mouse, and I just wanted to confirm that I wasn't lying.
We have the evidence now.
Yeah, sometimes I like to be beaten by cockroach.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
It becomes red and it's so itchy and it's nice to scratch.
Wait, what?
My mom just said, sometimes I like to be bitten by a cockroach because it gets really red and itchy and it feels good to scratch.
Mm. Yeah.
Ma, that's
just like
weird.
My left foot. Just
that's
like my
weird.
Left foot.
It's not true, Ma. Retract your statement. Okay.
It's true.
Okay, Ma, I love you. I'm going to call you back.
Because I get beaten one time and then my mom said, oh, that must probably be a cockroach. And I said, it's itchy. And then I scratched. And so from that moment, I said, I will not die if I be beaten by a cockroach. It's fun.
It's not fun, Ma. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. All right. I love you. I'll call
it's
you
crazy.
In a bit.
It's crazy.
Too much exposure.
Okay,
too much exposure.
Too much.
You see, when my mom doesn't know she's on the podcast, she can talk
for hours. Yeah.
Wow.
So I gathered so much information from that. Number one,
Dad was mentally ill.
What did you learn?
I'll tell you what I learned. I didn't realize. There's things I learned. And what I didn't know is that cockroaches and mice, if you look at their little arms, they have little watches because they show up on time. I didn't realize that. They show up on time for coffee and tea. You know what I mean? Or whatever it might be, you know? Yeah. Number two, poor mouse.
Poor mouse. Mm.
Because imagine, like, what if there were creatures? I just imagine this. What if there were creatures bigger than us, right? Yeah. And I saw that one of these creatures, you know, at noon, because I have a watch.
Yeah.
At noon, I have a watch. I go, oh, shit. It's the one that giant creature, right, has fucking tea with me. So I climb up whatever its table.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know what I mean? And we're talking about philosophical things like Sartre.
Oh, wow.
Or, yeah, or whatever it might be. Or, you know what I mean? Descartes or whatever it might be. And you talk about Rachmaninoff. You know what I mean? And his compositions. Or whatever. You know, you wear your smoking jacket.
Yeah. Cigars.
Maybe have a little pipe, you know? Mm-hmm. And then one day he goes, Hey, little man, I'm going to go on a voyage. And you're like, oh, all right, well, good luck. Magellan, I didn't know, right? He takes off. And a couple of days later, that creature's father throws a fucking piano on me.
That's basically what it is.
That's exactly what that story is.
Mm.
What a sad story.
My dad was real sensitive about that stuff, you know?
Oh, I love your dad even more. You know, I always wished that I met Kalila's dad.
Mm. It was so weird. He was such a scary, scary dude to be around. Even for me, I was his daughter, and I would have to formulate the questions and practice my line of questioning before I would even present the question to him, because I didn't want to, like, stutter, and I wanted to always be clear. But because I had so much, like, reverence for him.
I've always wanted to impress like girlfriends' dads.
Yeah.
One time I don't want to say who it was, but I dated this girl and her dad came to see me perform at the Comedy Store.
Oh no.
And he sat up front with his work buddies, right? And I was killing, but they weren't laughing.
Oof.
Right? So I don't know why I did this, but I started poking at my penis and just going, right, because I just to get them to laugh, and they just shut down. It was, and then afterwards you have to go. You can't go. Do you have fun? You know what I mean? I think I just sat next to them for a second, and then they said, "Well, thanks for the tickets."
I need a little backstory. Was this a girl you really liked?
It was a girl that I dated. Yeah.
Okay, and this was the first time you were meeting the parents?
Yeah, but then later he liked me. Later he liked me. I get under their skin after a while. Papa can do it. Papa knows how to survive.
I'm trying to think about what you and my dad would have had in common.
I think because your dad knew that director, was it Frankenfurter?
Johnny Frankenheimer.
Frankenheimer. Mm-hmm. And that your dad, you know, would show up at sets and stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I always imagine that, like, I could go, what's your dad's name?
Edgar.
Edgar. What's up, dude? Hey, come to the set of Game On. You know what I mean?
What do you, Kyle, what would your dad think about being on the set?
Hey, Edgar, you want to meet Landon Donovan?
I think that my dad was a really tough man to penetrate in that way.
Penetrate? I don't think that's the word you want to use in this climate.
Not this week. I think that my dad was just really hard to...
Tight asshole, her dad.
Yeah, hard to penetrate.
Very hard to penetrate.
You know, he was 6'4". He was about 220. He's a big man. Big voice.
Can I ask you a question? That's an and this is a bizarre question. You might have to cut this out. But let's say like a 6'8" guy has a tight asshole. Mm. Right, for a 6'8" guy.
Is there a stereotype that they don't?
No, but just listen.
Wait,
I don't know. I'm listening.
What you're trying to say basically is that typically tall people have loose assholes?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, let's say my name is Billy Joe. My name is Billy Joe.
Joe,
I'm 6'8". I grew up in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I wake up one morning and I bend over in front of a mirror and I say to myself, wow, for a 6'8" guy, I sure do have a tight asshole, right? But to a 5'2" guy, it's probably not that tight.
Why?
Because he's bigger.
What?
It's perspective.
Wait, no. Right now, tightness of an asshole has nothing to do with the size of the asshole.
So you're saying like Peter Dinklage, you, Brad Williams, all have loose assholes?
No, we have even tighter.
Tighter.
Why? Why does
because
height...
it's perspective of size.
No.
No.
Tightness has nothing to do with bigness, babe. That's just like saying, hang on one second. You think that a bigger woman is going to have a looser vagina?
No, a bigger woman could have a tight vagina for being that size, but a smaller...
I'm going to
sometimes
the philosophy.
I think you're really onto something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were. I was onto and you. And then I've
got... What you...
Other times I think that, like, you're having a stroke.
No, that's not... That's why I said to cut it out. I'm just throwing it out. I like to throw things out there, right? And now realize I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Guys, science alert. Science alert. Big guy, tall guys have loose assholes.
No.
Let's say tall guys have
1 millimeter opening. Have tight assholes for being tall, but in the perspective of a smaller person, it's still loose.
Why? What's the science?
Because the opening is like on a smaller person, the opening is small. And then you enlarge everything about them.
For instance,
and then the opening. All right, let's
look at cars.
So it's based on the person
you're
receiving.
Do all cars have to share the same tire? Like, for instance, if I had a Hummer, right?
Yeah.
And then I also had a smart car. Could I use the smart car tires onto the Hummer?
No.
Why?
Because
it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You're right.
Wait.
You okay?
Wait. No. Okay. I get what you're saying
right
now.
But the tires are different sizes.
No. Gilbert, this is what he's saying. He's saying this is actually not about assholes. It's about dick size
dick
in relation
size.
To how they fit into a giant asshole.
That
Am I not
makes
correct?
More sense. That makes more
so
sense.
He's
well,
saying,
I mean, I wasn't thinking about that, but
saying,
now that you say that, yeah.
He's saying that a small... a small dick might feel... might feel like a big asshole feels loose because of the small dick. But really, that's what you're saying, babe.
Essentially, that's
because you're talking about fitting things inside.
Let's think of pinkies.
I'm so confused, you guys.
I'll give you an example, all right? I'll give you an example, right?
Okay.
Look at Peter Dinklage's hand, right?
Yeah.
It's a small, beautiful hand.
Smaller hand.
Let's just say it's a theatrical, dramatic hand.
Very
it
theatrical.
Does this good. It does this good in scenes.
Star meter. Fantastic.
Right? And if Peter Dinklage stuck his pinky in his own asshole, right?
Yeah.
Unless he has a very tight asshole, yeah. Right? He'd be like, oh, my fucking, you know, my asshole's pretty tight. But then if he went to Andre the Giant's asshole and
yeah.
stuck his pinky in Andre the Giant's asshole, it probably is a little looser because Andre Giant is so big.
I'd like to rebuttal.
But here's
my rebuttal. May I rebuttal?
Yeah.
Yes.
Rebuttal.
Sweetie, do you know what an asshole is? It's a sphincter, right? What about that muscle is weaker in taller men than comparatively to shorter men? You're saying that they have a weaker sphincter muscle.
They have a bigger muscle. They have a bigger asshole.
Yeah, but which means if it's a bigger
person,
muscle,
yes.
it would be tighter. Not the other way around. I'm really confused about what point you're trying to make, but it's not computing.
I know it's probably not computing, and a lot. It's probably not computing.
I don't know if
and,
it is.
And
yet.
As I talk, I realize that I don't really know what I'm talking about. But that being said, I threw it out there, as, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm dreamy in that way. I'm whimsical in that way. You know what I mean? I just want to question things. You know, but
don't
George,
give up, Bobby,
George was trying to
do you kind of understand what
I'm
saying?
I am with you 100%, and now if you back down, I'm going to feel crazy. So don't back down.
I'm not
going
to back down from
sanity.
It. I know. Okay, I understand,
I'd like to hear George's perspective on this. Okay, George, please explain to me your logic, George.
Well, it just everything is bigger. So if there's like a small gap.
You know, that's like saying a rocket ship, right? When you close a rocket ship, because a rocket ship is so big that the doors can't be as tightly sealed.
Yeah, but a rocket ship's, a man designed it that way.
Well,
you know what I mean? If I designed.
The only reason a rocket ship is like so tight is because it has to be so tight. If you have a giant, their poos are so big that they don't need to have as tight an asshole.
Yeah.
Because if it's just like it has this much,
the
poo
is so
big, you can still have a little bit of an opening and the poo won't come out.
So he's saying that because big people shit big.
Don't bring poo into this.
His thing is because tall people shit big, that their assholes might just be, by virtue of big shits, be looser.
That's another question I have.
I don't think.
Let me throw this out there, right? Does a man who's 6'8" and weighs 300 pounds, is his shit as large as a dwarf's shit?
No,
way bigger.
Are they equal shits?
No,
I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Is shit size? That was your whole point?
No, I'm just saying that, like, let's suppose, right, as human beings, we didn't have toilets and we shit, like, you know, out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I
was a tracker. I'm out there, I'm a tracker, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just walking around and I see a piece of shit, right, on the ground, a human piece of shit. Could I say to myself, wow, a guy with gigantism just shat shit here? Or would I say, will I not know the difference?
I have another question. I have a follow-up question to that.
There we go! That's exactly the point I'm trying to make.
What is the revelation you're trying to make? I thought
Hold on, is this... I've had a revelation. Is that why you nut so little?
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Oh. Wow. Now we're getting personal.
Gilbert.
Yeah.
Kalila on the fucking highway every time.
No, because you have always said, like, I've never been with anyone as short as you.
Oh.
But I've also never been with anyone that nuts a little. So is there a correlation between the height and the amount of jizz then?
No, I'll give you an example of my nut, okay? If you order whipped cream from the store, it comes in those canisters, right?
Sure.
And if you press on it for 3 hours and just let all the whipped cream come out, right? And then you put it back in the refrigerator, that's what my fucking... That's what it is. Used whipped cream.
Oh, it's already...
So when you do it, it's like...
There's nothing
right, it makes that sound.
You ran out of the nitrogen.
And nothing comes out. Yeah.
Or CO2, whatever.
Right, so that's what my nut... It has nothing to do with my size.
You guys, this came full circle. I'm very proud of our debates on this podcast.
There are whimsical questions that I've always had walking down the street.
So tell me about your father, Kalila.
Okay, so I don't know how we got from...
My dad is 220 pounds, 6'8". Bobby, ding, 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 question. Whimsical, baby.
You're right, I'm whimsical, baby, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey guys, we're gonna take a quick break to share these amazing papayas with you.
Hey y'all, I love Tiger Belly fans, but I also have a special connection with our Patreon, our big papayas, and I would like to say their names of the month.
The shout outs
of the month of the papayas. Mm-hmm. That make any sense?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
We have Moon Disco from the U.S. of A. Moon.
It's a great name.
We have Parvez and Bashir.
Parvez.
Yeah, we love Parvez and Bashir, and he makes a very good empanada.
Yeah.
We have Jamie J. Cortez.
I think that's Jaime.
We have Jaime J. Cortez from the Cortez Wine Vineyard.
Mm.
We have Melvin Flores. What's up? We have Rachel Wilkins. What's up, baby? We have Rebecca Torres. We have Tyler Harrington. TJ. We have Bon Johnson. I love Bon.
Yeah.
We have Hafiz.
Hafiz from Singapore.
I love you, Hafiz. Good luck on your endeavors and your explorations of the mind.
Is there a prayer you'd
like? And lots of more things coming up this week. We had the, if you wanted to see more on Leonard, that vlog is up. If you've been a long time papaya, Gilbert's stand-up is going to be live soon. And anything else you guys want to tell them that's coming up soon?
What's the link, George?
Patreon.com/TigerBelly.
Guys,
thanks a lot.
Show.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to tell you guys that after we podcasted last Monday, we had a heck of an evening. Heck of an evening with the puppos, with the dogs.
Oh, okay. So what happened was, I'm not going to say names.
More animal stories.
I'm not going to say names. I will not implicate names because it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
It was an accident. So our friend of ours' husband came to do us a favor to clean out, to take these cabinets. We have these cabinets that were built into the house that we didn't want, so we wanted to get rid of them. He wanted the cabinets, so he came with his truck. And so we put the cabinets in our backyard, and he opened – we have one gate in our backyard that opens to the street, okay? And he pries open the back gate with
– he props it open.
With a little stool to carry, and then he put it in his truck, and then he drove off without closing the back gate. So the back gate's completely open. And so, you know, what I do is that back gate – there's an alleyway.
Don't describe the house too much.
I'm not going to, but there's an alleyway that leads to this back gate. And I like to throw balls with the dogs.
It's like a giant dog run.
It's a dog run.
Yeah.
And I throw the ball. They run. It hits the back gate, bounces off of it. And so they don't escape. They bring the ball back. And it's good exercise for the dogs. And so I go, let's go. Come on, dog. So we have Gobi and Julio. Let's go, boy and girl. And I bring the dog, and as I throw the ball, and I realize after I throw it, the gate's completely open. So I go, fuck. And I just see these two dogs run out into the street.
Wow.
Now, Gobi, you know, Gobi is one way. Gobi is our daughter dog.
She's a good dog.
She's a good dog.
Easy to retrieve back. Good recall.
Good recall. It's, you know, is good with the other human beings. And then we also have a psychopath.
Julio.
Dog.
We have an absolute homicidal. Like, if it was a human, it would be...
in a straitjacket.
Kevin Spacey in the movie Seven.
Jeez.
You know what I mean?
That's Julio.
That's Julio. Julio
only loves Juliana.
The only person he loves is Juliana. I don't know why, but and Julio at nights doesn't sleep with us. All the animals want to sleep with, you know, mama and papa, but Julio refuses to sleep and wants to sleep with Juliana because when Juliana visited us years ago,
she raised him.
She raised Julio as a puppy, so Julio just recognizes. Sees Juliana as a mother, I guess, which is it's heartfelt. But so the dogs run out into this fucking street, right? And oh my god, chaos ensues.
Chaos. Bobby nearly got tased.
Bobby got tased.
So Julio goes up to a woman, doesn't bite her, but she's wearing a blouse.
No, a skirt.
Not a scarf. No, it was a scarf.
Yeah.
She had like a big scarf, and she's pulling her scarf off her fucking body. And she's screaming, "Ay, ay, 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 ay!" And go, "Julio, Julio, Julio!" And then Julio runs up the street, right, and goes up to this gigantic dog. I don't know what kind of dog it is, but it's, and starts biting its legs. And
what?
The owner of the dog, pulls out a taser, a human taser, not a dog taser, and starts trying to zap Julio. And I'm running around this guy,
what are you
avoiding
doing?
The zap, right, and trying to fucking get Julio. I grab him. He bites me here,
Julio,
right,
yeah,
as hard as he can, and I grab him by the neck, and I'm holding him. And also, dude, I'm fat, right?
And Bobby is in his underwear with no shoes,
no
running
shoes,
down
yeah,
the
underwear,
hills.
Yeah, underwear, no shoes. I look like a madman.
Yeah.
Right? And I grab him, and literally, dude, I get him in the house, and it was almost as if, you know, years ago, I saw a horrific car accident, and I couldn't shake it. It was so horrific. Somebody died in this car accident that I saw, and it felt like...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was terrible. Can I tell you the story? This is really dark.
Yeah.
I was at my... I want to say her name, but I was at my friend's house, and she's a Groundlings...
Oh, yes, you did tell this story. I know the story, but tell it again.
So she's a Groundlings actress. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very talented. and she used to date my friend Peter, and she's a friend of mine, and I was at her house at like midnight, 12:30 at night, and she lived in Silver Lake on a hill, and all of a sudden we hear a car crash, mm-hmm. and we look down, we can see it, and a car had zipped around a corner and hit a brick wall dead on. I think they were dry, I don't know what. Oof. But there were three people in this car. The car was flipped upside down. And by looking at it, you're just like, whoever was in that car is not alive.
Yeah.
But what the horrifying thing was, is I guess a girl in that car, right? Her sister was following them in another car.
Oh, so she watched it.
So she pulled over and she's screaming at her sister, you know, Karen! Karen! And then she goes, she's dead! And all we could do is just stand. We called the cops, obviously. We called 911. And we got the cops there. But I remember staying there till like 5 in the morning. You know what I mean? Just in absolute shock. I mean, obviously, the Julio incident is not as...
That's not the same, babe.
No, I'm talking about feeling.
Oh, yeah, feeling.
Yeah, in terms of feeling.
Yeah,
the same kind of fight or flight kind of feeling of like, you know... You know, shock. I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. Like, where it takes you like a couple hours to decompress, where you're still kind of like.
No, it stays with you for days, right? It's just like. It's like,
well, it's an adrenaline. Like, you have a surge of adrenaline just take over your body. And after that, it just has its effects.
What did the
guy
say,
you know,
afterwards to you guys?
Did
he like complain or at all? Or
was no, we got the dog back in the house and we just didn't leave the house for days.
Gobi was. Gobi was easy to get because as soon as I call her, she just comes to me. And also, Gobi doesn't bite.
Mm-hmm.
It was really scary because it's not like, you know, if Julio gets out, it's not like we could be like, oh, a neighbor found him. He's not a friendly dog. He really is, like, not okay in the head.
It's hard because when we have friends over, we have to keep in mind that we have this dog. So we have to put Gobi in the kettle, or we have to
in the kettle,
or whatever it's called. The cage.
We're not cooking dogs.
That's a very Freud. That's a big Freudian slip, babe.
What's a kettle?
Like a cooking thing.
Like a cooking mechanism.
Oh, not a kettle. In the cage.
Yep.
I tried to do a fancy word for cage, but kettle.
Kennel.
Yeah.
What? I'm dumb. Oh, the slip king is so dumb. But you know, but here's the thing when you own animals. And this is, I guess this is how I've, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer's father, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, when he was, just listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When he was in trial, his dad visited him at prison every day mm-hmm. and sat by him every day and supported his son and walked through this. I feel that with Julio. You know what I mean? I'm there for my son.
No matter
what. You know, even though he's got the wild eye.
He's got the wild eye for sure. But you know, if he gets to know you, like, has he ever been anything but sweet with George or you?
No, sweet with me, not with George.
He just likes to hump George's
no,
leg.
No, just the one time we were had him in the podcast room when he was still a puppy, and I had to try to hold him so he wouldn't, like, gnaw on the side of the table and make noise, and he kept on reaching around and biting me, and then Bobby got mad at me for making noise and not, like... being completely quiet
he
myself
by
when
his
the
son.
Dog bit
he
me.
Stands by
he
his
was
son.
Getting bit by Julio. Babe.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It's my son, baby.
That's a son, George. What I can know. I say?
Gilbert, we have an unhelpful advice.
Well, I have a question before that, really quick. people have been wondering, do you have any gripes with Rudy this week?
Oh.
Gripes with Rudy.
Well, gripes with Rudy.
Rudy.
Gripes with Rudy.
Where do you start?
It's not really a gripe. I think that you didn't.
It's sabotage. It's the worst kind of gripe. I'm just trying to word it. Because I talked about it on Bad Friends as well, so I don't even know why I should talk about it now.
I may not be privy to this. What happened?
I'll tell you then. You know, I like food, and I spend sometimes money on food, and I you know, maybe I'm fat and maybe I worship food too much, but you know, I'll go to an app and I'll order fancy foods from all over the country, mm-hmm. from different states. I like to try things out. And I order pies. And if you ever want a delicious pie, people, chicken and mushroom, pepper steak. She's smiling right now because she doesn't really get the magnitude of her offenses.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I love my pie. Anyway, so you know, you get them delivered from all over the country. So you know, they come to the door, and we have a rule in the house where she has to disinfect everything before it comes inside the house. That's her job, is to disinfect things. And I love her so much. She's a sweet girl. She gets straight A's. I'm so proud of her. And she, no, don't roll your eyes at me, please.
4.0 GPA. Congrats, 4.0 Julie. GPA.
She started following this actor boy in high school. And this actor boy, I know his name. And he was older. I'm not going to say his name, but... She followed this actor. She went to a school and she followed this actor.
Who goes to her school? He's a theater guy.
He's a theater guy. Cute as fuck. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of got a Southern California Tony Hawk kind of vibe to him.
Oh.
A young Yakov Smirnoff. Not Yakov Smirnoff. A young Weird Al Yankovic, I mean.
Oh.
That's what he kind of looks like. Yeah, so it's a combination between Tony Hawk and Weird Al Yankovic. But he's a young kid and she followed him on social media, on Instagram, and he didn't follow her
back. How long has it been, Jules?
A month,
hasn't followed you.
She
back.
Has not followed her back, and it really. I want to tweet at the guy. I want to follow him and make a message and go. If you don't fucking, I will bury you.
I don't think that's right.
I know it's not right, but that's my as a father. That's what I want. Fucking follow her back.
Yeah.
You know what Bobby threatened to do yesterday was follow the kid. So this is we were all about to watch a movie, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and follow him. I'm like, I don't think that's the right move at all. Like,
well, I wanted to follow him, have me follow back, and just do a direct message and go, yo, dude, just, you know, on the side, you know what I mean? Follow her back.
That's so crazy.
I didn't do that because I realized you guys talk sense. That was my gut instinct.
Yeah.
That was my gut instinct.
You know what his gut instinct was when we first started dating? His gut instinct was to follow all of my exes.
Mm.
All of them.
Instincts with Bobby.
Yeah, that's my gut instincts. Uh-huh. And they're usually wrong, my gut instincts. That's why I don't ever follow them. Yeah.
You never follow your gut?
Oh, no. I go against my gut. Do the opposite. So she's in love with this boy. And
he's a crush, babe. Mild crush.
Crush. And but, you know, then I proposed, you know, a setup for Gilbert. You know him. Raimi. Yeah.
Shout out to Raimi.
Yeah, yeah. So I sent... So I called Raimi last night.
Is that her
midnight.
Type, though, visually?
No. Well, that's why it backfired because I go, Raimi, send me 3 photos of you. So he sent 3 photos, right. And I go, I called him right back and I said, you got to lose weight.
You can't do that. That's so mean.
He's all cheeks.
He is so cute to me.
He's all cheeks.
He's a very cute boy. And that was so mean that you said for him to lose weight. He doesn't need to lose weight. He looks fine.
He has milk glands in his titties.
He says this every time we play.
I always say that. Squirt me some milk out of your fucking titties.
But don't you find it like a little bit weird that you're trying to like arrange 2 children to date? Not 2 children, 2 adult young adults to date.
It's like traditional matchmaking.
It's traditional, you know. Korean parents have done it back in the day. You know, I'm not going to force
Filipino mom. You sound like a Filipino mom.
I'm not going to force it, but I was making some suggestions. Because she's like has this crush on this like actor boy from school, and I go, well, I have an alternative.
Didn't you try to offer her also give her the option for Trauma Todd?
Who is Trauma Todd? Who is
so
this
Trauma
guy?
Todd? No, but Trauma Todd. No, you saw a video. Okay, guys. So Gilbert and I, we all play Warzone, and I play with a guy named Raimi, but I also play with a guy. I can't say his name because he wants to kept a secret. Yeah. But his name is I call him Todd. And then I just call him Trauma Todd. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I call him Trauma Todd. We mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. And Trauma Todd, he lives in England, and he's a very talented skateboarder.
Hmm.
And so I had a video of him skateboarding on my phone, right? And so Kalila saw. He looks like a kind of like a deformed Harry Styles.
I didn't say that. Deformed?
That's what I'd say.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he looks like a regular ass. He looks like a regular guy.
Sure, a regular guy. If Harry Styles was deformed. But But so either way, I got guys that I'm going to set her up with. But let me go back to the fucking thing, though, the Panberry Pie and all that stuff.
I'd like to also just say one more thing before we move forward.
Yeah.
So you guys, none of you guys think it's weird when parents set their kids up with other people? Or is it just a parent thing?
It seems normal, at least in my culturally, in my experience.
I know Filipinos do it a lot, but...
I was dating Cindy, and my grandpa is still trying to set me up with women in the Philippines. Like, I'm like, you know, I've been with Cindy forever. He's like, I know, but just in case. Like, in case what? I'm literally telling you that I want to propose to her. You're offering Filipino women to me.
You know what?
Can we go back to the Panberry?
Oh, yeah, it's the Panberry.
Fine, Panberry. Jules.
What's Panberry? That's the name of the company?
I order Panberry pies from an app called Gold Belly. They're not sponsoring us, but it's a very good app. And you can get food from anyway. And so, you know, I can't disinfect the food that comes here. That's Juliana's job. Mm-hmm. And I said this before, but I'm going to say it again so that it never happens again. And she's in complete denial about it. And she's like, it's fine and all that shit. So I tell her, the pies are here. And she goes, okay, Uncle Tito, or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, Uncle Tito, there it is, Panberries. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are delicious. Okay, Uncle Tito, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know how food works in the Philippines, but when you leave it out in the sun here in America, you know, if something's frozen because of just the sun, it melts. And when you leave it out there for 2 days, the shit's going to melt.
Oh, 2 days.
So, but she doesn't tell me, right? Because I let it go because I think that she was responsible. She's a responsible girl. For 2 days, she leaves them out there. And then so she doesn't tell me. She puts them in the freezer as if I'm not going to notice.
Oh, you already knew, though. Okay.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know until I go. I say, you know, sometimes Papa wakes up and goes, I think today's pie day.
Panberry pie day. Yeah.
I want a little pie. Right? I go in to the freezer and I pick up a pie. Now, the pies are about this big and they're in a plastic wrapper. And it tells you on the wrapper, you know, mushroom and chicken or whatever it might be, right? But this batch is, you see the pie, but outside of the pie, you see brown gravy. It's frozen. Melted. Now, it's no longer in the pie. All right? The shit is outside of the pie. And there's no way to put frozen brown gravy back inside the fucking pot.
It's like a prolapse anus, yeah.
You can still put those back. I had three of them. you need tweezers, some pliers,
sure,
right?
Okay.
And some fucking
it would be,
and some fucking
I think
Vaseline.
What you're trying to say, Guild, is you can't put shit back into the butt.
Exactly.
That's better. Yeah,
Bobby
prolapse
can,
butt, though. I've done it.
Yeah, you could just push that back in.
But
very
I leave
easy.
It out for a couple of days, especially during Halloween, so I can play like, you know what I mean, an animal.
Jesus.
When I have a prolapse butt, I always like keep it out for a couple of days.
It's your rattler.
It's your rat tail.
It's a rattler.
So now when you eat a pie, and I just had one before this podcast, you know, I baked it. Basically, what you have in it is the pie, right, and the meat because the meat didn't seep through.
Yeah.
So it's just
no juices.
No juice. Oh. No. Yeah, and you know what a pie is? Let's be honest. Let's be real for once on this fucking podcast.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What's inside a fucking pie is a stew. It's supposed to be a stew.
Yeah.
It's a thick gravy-like stew. So then I gently pointed out. I go, Jules, no offense, but, you know, these pies, you know the fucking gravy is on. And she goes, it's not gravy. It's oil.
That was pretty good improv to just think of something.
I say to her, did I order oil pies?
Pie?
on the packaging, does it say chicken with oil?
Mm, chicken and canola?
No,
good.
The reason why it doesn't fucking say that is because there's no fucking oil on it. All right, so I love you. You're doing a great job in the household. And everyone's saying online, to be nicer to Rudy. I'm getting direct messages. You got to be nicer or I'm done with you. I'm done with bad friends. I'm done with Tiger Belly. If you're not nicer to Rudy, and this is me being nice, that's why I didn't fucking do anything. You know, I'm eating the pies. And I'm going to tell you this right now. As we speak, I've ordered another batch. Mm. Okay? Are you mad?
No.
Oh. But she's doing a great job. I honestly, no, let's say it's positive things.
Yeah.
She's in love with this guy. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
But a lot of guys have crushes on her on the internet. You know,
oh, they
know
do.
That.
I know. She has. This, I get
but
it.
That's not real life, is it?
That's not real life.
I mean, if she wants to make it real life.
No. That'd be kind of
she's
weird.
She's too young.
Though.
She's too young. She's too young. You know?
Wait, she's too young to date in general?
I don't want it.
There's the dad vibes kicking in. There's
I don't want it yet. I think I want her to get through school. True. I want to graduate from high school. Can you graduate from high school? And then we'll figure out your future.
I'm so the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm always like, who are you talking to these days? Let me see the pictures. Ooh, should we set up like a 6 feet apart date? Like it's
that's also very mom though, to be like, let's set up a play date.
Do we have an unhelpful advice, Gil?
Ghost stories with Bobby and Kalila.
After last week, so many people wanted you guys to answer their paranormal experiences because you guys are experts. Long-time listener thought I'd share my ghost story with you. I'm a 30-year-old dude who does not believe in any of that woo-woo bullshit. However, my young nephew keeps mentioning that we believe what we believe is just an imaginary friend, but he refers to him as the man with the snake neck. He's mentioned him a couple times and usually at night. If you press him for more information, he'll eventually just respond that he doesn't know where he came from, but that he lives in the basement and comes through a hole in the floor. He's referring to the air conditioning vent in the hardwood floor of my sister's house. Generally, I'd say this is just some twisted imagination of a young child under six, but the last time I babysat him at around 2 a.m. after the nephew was sleeping, I swear to you I could hear steady knocking coming from the basement steps. They eventually stopped on their own after I refused to investigate by myself. The next morning, my freaky nephew asked if I saw the man with the snake neck last night when he came to visit. Needless to say, I immediately planned on cutting that kid out of my life ASAP.
Yes.
But do you think do you think I'm overreacting, or do kids actually see things that we cannot? Also, what the fuck does snake neck mean? Love you guys.
That's,
love the show.
John. That's like the no neck lady in the Haunting of Hill House. I'm sorry, the bent neck lady.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
My opinion, my expert opinion in these paranormal activities, you know what I mean, is that when a child sees an imaginary friend,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's an imaginary friend. I think it's a when they see the boogeyman,
sure,
or they're fearful of the creature down below, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually there's something down there, or I saw a shadow, or I feel something, or you know, but when you get specific, mm-hmm. and you see the neck, and you see reptile scales, right, snake neck, and that's also a very like
descriptive.
It's not descriptive. It's odd. It's an odd thing to describe.
What would you do?
If that was my son, I would move, and he would have to stay there in the house.
Fuck.
Or no, you know what I would do? I would be like, I was boarding school.
Okay. Oh yeah, remove him from the source.
No, I'd remove him from me.
Oh,
but pretend for social reasons. No, you know he's in Switzerland going to, you know what I mean, the academy. Mm. Like really? Does he come home for summer? No, it's a year round thing.
But what if? The young kid is the snake charmer, and so he's the only one that can control the snake and maybe keep it a friendly snake neck monster.
Whether he could control it or whether it's a fucking monster, I don't want that shit in my life.
Why? It could be an ally.
Oh, that's true.
Like not all ghost cat. I mean, Casper exists.
Oh, so like so there's an intruder,
mm-hmm.
right? Interesting. You hear the fucking glass, you know what I mean? And people coming in, you go to your son, snake time, it's snake time!
Yep.
Right? And so the kid goes, lights a couple of times, and all of a sudden, and it comes out, oh, that's
it's a weapon.
Fucking
thing, yeah.
It's like
amazing.
Let the right one in. Remember how eventually she protected the boy from like being bullied and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to read this thing. Remember how last week during our paranormal session of talking about the pink flowers around the pale yellow house, somebody sent me what they found on the internet about what those pink flowers that Cadena de Amor symbolized. You want to hear
what
it?
Symbolize?
Remember that yellow house where everything went bad?
I can't forget it.
Oh, okay. Okay. It says cadena de amor. Cadena de amor are a flower from Mexico and are widespread throughout the Philippines. On the surface, they are vines of beautiful pink and white flowers, and that is why they are named chain of love and sometimes bride's tears. As a flower, it resembles tiny hearts and chains. However, they earn a unlucky or negative connotation since they flourish so strongly that they overwhelm and choke out their surroundings. They are often commonly found in graveyards, constantly needing to be eradicated as they eventually cover and consume entire headstones in graveyards.
Oh my fucking God.
So they choke out their surroundings. And my whole house was surrounded by that.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
And you need to eradicate them. Cut yeah. them from your memories.
Mm-hmm. The honest truth about the kid with the snake neck monster.
Yeah.
The honest truth is it's probably he might have gone through something traumatic. Right. And he made, you know, and this snake neck creature, you know what I mean, is something that he came up with to deal with, you know what I mean, this tragedy. Or mm-hmm. he could just have a very creative imagination. And, you know, I bet you money if you talk to Stephen King or was it Clive Barker or any like, you know, horror movie. What?
Nothing. I just the Clive Barker reference just made me giggle. I don't know why.
Yeah, Clive Barker and, you know, any horror movie, you know, novelist.
R.L. Stine.
They might have, you know, grown up and had these kind of imaginary things. And maybe that's just a part of their, maybe he's going to become a great writer. Because that is a very creative, yeah. you know, kind of creature, a snake necked.
Dude, and you know, honestly, little boys are funny, man. My friend just sent me a video of her son, like, clamping his own dick with magnets. And she was like, do you think there's something wrong with him? And I honestly think he's like ahead of his time and just onto something that we're not aware of. But he's like, these things have electricity and he's like clamping.
He's growing it.
I don't know what it was, but it was something. I'm proud of him. I'm like, wow, he's taking risks in life. And wow, what a great kid.
He's taking risk in life.
Like, who just clamps their own fucking dick down?
Okay. Because if I saw that.
If your own son did that?
Well, first of all, I'd have to catch him. All right, there's two things.
What
scenarios.
If he's not secret about it? What
there's,
if he just
okay,
does
there's
it?
Two, right, there's two scenarios. There's me opening up a door and him clamping his own dick with shit. Right?
A dad?
Yeah, right. So that's not as bad as, hey, dad, you want to see something cool?
Yeah.
Because then that. I'd be like, yeah, son, I think maybe it's a little playful joke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like somebody told me this joke. It was so dumb. On you know, that Trauma Todd who, you know, he makes jokes when we play Warzone. Mm-hmm. And he did a joke that was so dumb. You know, what does it sound like when Pink Panther steps on an ant?
What?
Dead ant. Dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant.
So I feel like that's a Roger joke.
Yes,
that's
right.
That's a Roger joke.
Right, that's what he said. And then when we were playing, right, for like a minute after he said the punchline, no one said anything. It was completely silenced. No one laughed.
Georgia.
And we just kept playing. And then Trauma Todd goes, you guys didn't think that was funny?
Oh.
And we never even, you know. And deep down, I got angry.
Yeah.
I go, da-da-da-da, fuck you. You know what I mean? But anyway.
Wait, so if your son came up to you and said, dad, I want you to
I would
clamp
think that he would do a dead ant
too.
Joke, right?
Oh, okay.
Or I would think that he would like show me some sort of like card trick he learned from his friend Billy. Yeah.
No, but he's four.
Right, he's four. If he was clamping his dick, you know, it's like, you know, the human version of Julio, our dog. And I would probably seek medical, psychological attention to it. Mm. That's weird.
I don't know. I found it to be really cute and adventurous. Truly, that's what I thought. I was like, I love this kid. This kid is just getting to know his body and, like, doing weird shit with it and not having any shame.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Tiger Belly. We really, you know, this has been a tough week. You know, we'll see what happens. More will be revealed.
Yeah.
More will be revealed. And I'm you know, I don't really believe in Jesus, and I don't really believe in the kind of God that, you know, Western religions talk about. But I have been on my hands and knees praying. This is, you know, my, you know, I think I feel like I lost a dear friend of mine, and it's really been a tough week. But
I'm sorry, sweetie.
Yeah, and so I love you guys. Thanks for still being there with us. And you know, we're building a new studio. We're gonna start bringing in guests again, and it's gonna be back to normal soon. But God bless you. Take care and good night. Shukulukumbala, yeah.